And welcome to Sideline Thoughts. I'm David Reyes, alongside here with my good friend Gio Galvez. Gio, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, David. Back for another episode. We're back in here. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Happy to keep doing this. This is our fifth episode, no, sixth episode, right?
Six
Six,
episode.
six, and then seven, eight, nine, 10, etc. to 100. We'll see by then.
The way it's looking like, I think we'll hit 100. Just a wild guess. We'll hit 100 by October. November? Is that I don't know how many weeks are in between there. And who knows? Maybe we'll do two episodes a week.
We can't do it without the support of our listeners. So,
Yes.
yeah.
Can't do it without them.
Once they give up on us, we will fall. I'm just kidding. No, we won't.
Nah.
We
It, we
won't.
we it, it'll take a while for us, but we'll grow our fan base. We'll grow. We have loyal listeners here, so we'll get that. Well, David, we got a couple things to talk about. We got some NBA to go on, some excited NBA. I'm excited about some things we're gonna talk about.
They're flippers. All
Stop, bro.
right.
Stop. All right, we'll get to that right now. All right, we got the NBA, we got the NFL. Everything was rumbling around. Some news going on in the NFL when it comes to cuts, releases, trades, and all this other stuff. And then with the amidst of free agency starting on Wednesday from when this episode's being recorded. So yeah, we got that. And then yeah, we'll see what else we got in store to talk about.
All right. Let's start with the Clippers. They played the Raptors. They beat the Raptors.
Yeah, know what, David? I'm gonna start you before this.
Okay, let's start. All right.
We did it, David. We did it, bro. We got a win with Russell Westbrook. Unbelievable. I didn't know when I was going to see this day. I didn't know how long this was going to take. But the Clippers beat the Memphis Grizzlies. I believe it was last Friday, last Saturday. Yeah, I oh dude, that game, that and they could have lost. I really thought they were going to lose. The Grizzlies dropped 51 points on them in the third quarter alone. I was like, wow. I was working, but I was watching the game at work, and I was like, dude, they lost. Like, it's another sad game, another moment where you're like, dude, what is going on? Why are we playing so bad? Obviously, 51 points dropped on them in one quarter. It's clearly the defense. This defense was not trying at all. I saw play Desmond Bane just blowing through the defense, hitting a couple threes on them, and I was like, why isn't anyone trying? Mason Plumlee was not protecting the rim at all in that third quarter. Marcus Morris, no defense at all. Like, the only one trying to play defense I saw was Paul George ish like, kind of. Not to take away the fact that he's not a great defender, he is a really great defender, but they lacked the defense in that whole quarter, and it got me mad because they could at least stop a couple shots, got a couple rebounds. That was the other worst part, was that the Grizzlies were getting so many offensive rebounds and offensive possessions that it looked like the Clippers weren't didn't even want to play. They looked lifeless. They weren't even trying. Everything about that whole third quarter went so wrong. I couldn't. I really just wanted to turn it off, from my phone, and just get off of it and say, you know what, another loss, and start realizing that they were going to go down that path of so many losses before they got the first win. But I stuck with it for some reason, right? And although the Grizzlies dropped 51 points, the Clippers kept up with 30 points of their own in that quarter. So it was only a 21 point difference, right? But it was very disappointing. And I mentioned Plumlee earlier, because Jaren Jackson was going against them during that matchup in the third quarter. And as I was listening to the commentators, to the play-by-play callers of the game, they kept on saying Jaren Jackson likes to go to his left, and he goes to the bucket to he goes to the rim like that. He's going to his left, goes to the rim, and Mason Plumlee is just giving it to him the whole time. And as I, watching it, and I see that, yeah, Mason Plumlee is literally not forcing Jaren Jackson to his right. And he keeps on allowing him to go to the left, where Jaren Jackson was scoring easy. I think he scored at least four or five buckets like that in that third quarter, just off going against Plumlee. Yeah. At the end, Jaren Jackson had 24 points throughout the whole game. But I remember seeing a couple buckets like that in the third quarter where Plumlee was just allowing him in. Now, the difference, what gave the Clippers the win at the end of this game was that they picked it up defensively so beautifully, in my opinion. They picked it up so good that it held the Grizzlies to 17 points only. Desmond Bane wasn't hitting the threes that he was hitting in the third quarter, as well as Tyrese Jones, who they were just knocking down threes in the third quarter like it was a clinic. They were held down. Kawhi Leonard stepped up in the defense. Paul George stepped up in the defense. Other players as well stepped up. Plumlee finally got his head as, but he started playing actual basketball and started forcing Jaren Jackson to the right side. But not only that, I think what also helped was Zubac getting some minutes coming back in. You know, he hasn't been able to play a lot due to like an injury and stuff like that. But you know, he got his points returning 17 minutes, which isn't too bad. But Mason Plumlee off the bench, Mason Plumlee got the 21 minutes. He got the more minutes with 15 points. That's all right. But my point with that was that he stepped it up defensively, forcing Jaren Jackson to his right, to where Jaren Jackson was missing shots, right? He started missing shots in the fourth. Clippers started hitting shots. And what I thought was so good in that game was that normally when Clippers were losing these past few games, they've been chucking up threes. They've been like in a panic mode. You know, it's like Tyronn Lue keeps on just telling him, all right, we're gonna go for the three. We're gonna cut this lead by just shooting a bunch of corner threes. You know, we're gonna drive in, try kick out, or we do the top of the key. We're gonna pass it out to the corners. Or some play like that, and they just shoot up the three, and they'll be missing them. And the worst part about this is that Ty Lue loves to put one center in there. We have five players, right? We have a power forward who, in my opinion, the way I would play basketball is putting that power forward in the key with the center to fight for those rebounds to get second chance opportunities. But no, he only likes to put Mason Plumlee in there. That means we have Marcus Morris, who's supposed to be the starting power forward, shooting corner threes. Like, dude, get in there, post up, get a mid-range, get 2-point lay, get layup, get whatever, dude. But no, he's shooting threes, and that's why a lot of times we lost games towards the stretch, or we went on cold runs, was because they were shooting threes. But in this game, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George took over. They were shooting mid ranges. They were shooting threes,
They
obviously,
both
but
scored
they
a
were,
lot of points.
yeah, Paul George had 42 points.
42.
42 points, dude. We needed 42 points and Kawhi Leonard to score 34 points to beat the Grizzlies. Right? Obviously, it wasn't by 1 point. They won by six, so it was a decent, cushion. But why does it need to come to Paul George scoring 42 and Kawhi Leonard getting 34 to get this win? And I'll get to that moment right now. But back to what I was saying was that what I liked was that in that game, somehow I guess Ty Lue kind of changed it up, or Paul George and Kawhi just said, you know what, we're gonna do it our way. And they were shooting mid-rangers. They were going to the basket. You know, they were going to the basket. They were getting layups. They were shooting a couple threes. They were getting a couple assists. They're making plays. You know, and that's what I liked so much about that game. And I was proud that we got that win at the end, because I was very disappointed at the end of the third, and I really thought we were gonna lose. And they were playing very terrible, but the way they played at the end of the fourth made me really happy to how it changed. And it shows, at least in my opinion, that they noticed that it wasn't working before and they're trying to do something else. You know.
One thing that I want to mention. So what do you think? Who runs the team here? Paul George and Kawhi Leonard or Ty Lue? Because I'm pretty sure you can't really d make decisions for these two. It's mostly them two, like running the team, I guess. But that's how I should say it.
You know what? At least in my, I think that Ty Lue was running this game, the team, the whole season. And don't get me wrong, before the trade for Russ, before the trade deadline and everything that went on, they were in fourth place. They were doing really good. However, I still did not agree with Ty Lue's style of just shooting a bunch of threes at the end in the fourth quarter, to try to build up that lead. Because in a lot of games that the Clippers played this season, they had major leads, and it always got cut down to maybe 5 points, 6 points, because they were just shooting a bunch of threes. Now, at the end of it, they came out with the win, right? They closed off those games, but it didn't look good in that they were just shooting threes, and then once that lead was getting cut, they were getting panic mode, and then they were just trying to get whatever they could. You know, I feel like that should have never been the go-to situation where if you have that lead, keep it going. Try to go to the free throw line a lot more. Try to get these easy or not easy layups, but try to get to the basket more. Get some mid-rangers. Paul George, Kawhi is, because Kawhi, how do I say this? Kawhi has a perfect shot for these mid-rangers. So smooth. You know, the threes, a couple of them, he kind of breaks them because in the way he kind of shoots, I think. You know, he kind of has to fix. I don't know. I don't know about when it comes to his threes, but in his mid ranges, his shot is just so nice, you know? And I was like, and every time I see it, I was like, dude, go for the mid ranges. And which he does. He does. It's just, I don't like the Ty Lue's plays is that he puts a bunch of shooters and tries to just shoot up a bunch of threes and have one center rebounding. You know, I don't agree with that. So I think in this game, it was run by the players, but throughout the season, to answer your question, throughout the whole season, it was Ty Lue running him, and they were just going with his plan, game plan. You know, because you have to believe in your coach, you have to trust your coach.
Oh, yeah,
So
yeah.
they were going with his game plan, but I think in this game they realized, you know what, we just gotta take over. Like, don't care how or what we do. You know, I don't think they specifically thought, oh, we're gonna go to the basketball or we're gonna be just shooting a bunch of mid ranges around the key or within inside the arc. Like, no, they just took control and they started doing what they had to do.
And also, Tyloo doesn't have LeBron as his assistant anymore, so I mean, that's.
That's true. You don't have a facilitator like LeBron going on. But talking about Paul George and Leonard Kawhi needing to score those points. So my point, and as you brought that up, that they had a big game. And the reason why that is so important is because the three other starters did not even hit double digits. And that's so bad. That's very bad, especially with Westbrook, who I thought coming into this team was going to be the third scorer, the third option of the team,
Score
because
nine
we
points.
he scored 9 points. He had 9 points, five rebounds, six assists, one steal, and he had his
34
average four
minutes.
turnovers
34 minutes,
in
too.
34 minutes. You're telling me in 34 minutes you only scored 9 points? An average college player could do that. You know what I'm saying? I had the expectation of Westbrook coming into this team and being the floor general, being the third option. So let's say Paul George didn't score those 42 points. He only scored 26. Who was going to score those other few points should have been Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook should have ended this game with at least 19, 20 points, 21 if we even needed it. But he's not stepping up to that plate. And that's what's very disappointing now. That yes, we got the win with Russ. Like that's awesome. It finally feels relieved after so many losses in a row. Like, we finally did it. That was what's so exciting. But he's not making a case for himself that he was a major part of that team. And to sad to say that now that a lot of teams, in order to win, Russell Westbrook isn't stepping up and shining as he used to. As he used to have triple doubles, average 25 to 30 points a game, even more sometimes if he went off. You know, and I'm not saying I want him. Like I said, I'm not saying I want him to score 30 something points to be up there with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. No, but hit the 20s at least. That's my expectation for him. And maybe it's wrong of me. I don't know, David. Is it wrong of me to expect maybe 20 points from Westbrook? Like, is that a bad expectation for who I thought was going to be the third leading scorer of the team?
I mean, I wouldn't say a bad expectation because how much is he getting paid?
But not just about what he's getting paid, about like him playing, like what he's contributing to the team, what he's bringing to the team.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, I think he should be scoring more than 9 points, at least what, 19, close around there, 20. Because to be honest, I'm gonna tell you straight up. I mean, I think it's sad. I mean, what he's been turning into. I mean, I think as we said in the past episode, like from back then in the OKC days with Kevin Durant, James Harden,
Not
Sabrina.
even with James Harden, the years after with KD, or even when KD left. And at one point, he had Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. And even when Steven Adams was there.
I mean, what I want to say is like seeing them from a kid from that time to now, it's kind of sad to what he's turning into, like a downhill of his career. I mean, I really wish that he was, and to be honest, I wish he was better than Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I mean,
Oh, I mean, okay, give your opinion on that. I don't know about being better than him, but
I knew him since what, since I was like 12. So I mean, I have more of an attachment to them than to him than. The other two guys. So that's what I'm saying. I'm more of a big fan of him than the other two guys. I respect what Paul George and especially what Kawhi has done from the Spurs to. giving the championship to the Raptors. But I mean, Westbrook, I mean, so he's that guy that I want to see when watching the Thunder as a kid. So, I mean, that's why I have a closer attachment to him. I'm not throwing beef at the other two. I mean,
no, yeah, I get you. Okay, I understand your point. I don't expect him to reach Paul George and Kawhi Leonard's level. But, you know, like you said, you have that reason. But look, you know what's the crazy part about all that? He wasn't even the worst starter of there. Obviously, like I said, Zubac only had 6 points, but that was because he was coming back after some injury time. So then, you know, he was getting back into the groove. He only played one game before this game. But the worst player on the team, for some reason, Ty Lue just loves to play, is Marcus Morris Sr. Dude had 25 minutes, 5 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 0 steals, with 1 turnover. Why is he starting, dude? Why, as a, you might as well just start Plumlee and Zubac. All right, too big. All right, we need another center to come off the bench. Fine, don't start Plumlee. That's fine. Start Batum. I would 100% rather have Nick Batum. Now in this game, he played even worse. Nick Batum, 17 minutes with 0 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and he got 2 turnovers. Like, fine, he had a bad game. Whatever. But Nick Batum is so much of a more versatile player than Marcus Morris, in my opinion, how it's come down to now. Marcus Morris has not been stepping up. Nick Batum, I think he's a much better player. If not, you don't want to start him. Start Terrence Mann. We could go small ball since Ty Lue likes to shoot a bunch of threes and everything. Why wouldn't you start small ball? Terrence Mann was set to be a starter this season, right before the Russ trade. He was pretty much almost going to be a starter. And now he's looking at less minutes. So off the bench, Terrence Mann only had 7 points, two rebounds, 2 assists, one steal with 1 turnover. He did okay. You know, he did all right. But this game came down to, like we said, Paul George and Kawhi going off with Mason Plumlee, 15 points. Eric Gordon with 17 points. Personally, I wouldn't put him in the starting lineup, but I think he's coming off the bench really nice. But another player that I think he should have got more playing time, or any playing time, was Bones Highland. Young player who came from Denver. I think he's a really good shooter who could help off greatly off the bench. He's like a Norman Powell, in my opinion, like another Norman Powell, where we could have in the second rotation. And he didn't play at all that game. And it's his coach's decision. What was it? Why the hell is Marcus Morris playing 25 minutes when we have a player like Highland who could give us 15 minutes and give us, what, 7, 10 points off the bench, which is nothing, but it's still more than Marcus Morris, you know? So it was a very – I didn't like a lot of these subs. I didn't like a lot of how the other starters were playing. Very disappointing, but they brought it, like I said. What made it great in the fourth quarter was they brought up their defense. As it was shown, the Grizzlies were held to 17 points in that game.
No, I get what you're saying. I get it.
You know. But now the second game, like you mentioned, against the Raptors, just quickly going on to that, was much better. They started off very bad. I don't know if you saw. They were held to, I believe, 17 points in the first quarter. 17 points in the first quarter. They started off bad. They brought it back up in the second quarter where halftime was 49-49. So at the end, Clippers came out with the win. They took that whole lead throughout the third quarter. They jumped off. And look, this is more accurate. Kawhi Leonard, 25 points, 24 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals with only 4 turnovers. Okay, a little too many turnovers, right? But he had a great 24 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 assists. Paul George, 23 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 4 turnovers. Again, too many turnovers. That I feel like that's what kept the Raptors in, with these turnovers where they were able to get points off of. Now we're looking at the other starters. Zubac, 27 minutes. So now he has 10 more minutes than before. 17 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks, and only off of 1 turnover. So much better. The Clippers are playing so much better with Zubac there. Obviously, he's been there for so many years, so he knows the system. He knows everything. And me personally, I never liked Zubac. I never liked him. I thought he was always weak in rim protection. I thought he should have gotten much bigger, you know, and everything. But that man offensively could help us facilitate so much. Yes, defensively, I still feel like he could use a little more work, but he's so much better than before. And it's so nice. Now I learned it's like one of those where you hate on something and you don't realize it once it's gone and then you miss it. It's one of those where I saw how Mason Plumlee is in there and I'm like, Jesus, bro, we need Zubac back. We need him back. Because Mason Plumlee, 16 minutes with 8 points, 5 rebounds. What's going on there? Eric Gordon, 27 points. Not, I mean, 27 minutes with 9 points. But then you have Terrence Mann with 28 minutes, 14 points. And Nick Batum having another shocker of a game. So, well, 14 minutes and 2 points. Now Nick Batum, not, I don't, maybe I was wrong earlier, what I said about Nick Batum starting. Because I, to me, he was so much better in the beginning of the season. Well, not even the beginning of the season, before, like, this is all before the trade. So much better, but now he's going down. So maybe don't start him. Like, we don't put him in the starting lineup, but it has to be someone else than Marcus Morris. Because this game, played 23 minutes, had only 4 points. You're telling me 4 points in 23 minutes.
Westbrook had 7 and same in 23 minutes too.
Yeah, which again, another bad game by Westbrook, where they won, but he's not. He's running the floor. He's being a general. He's, you know, doing the plays, which is fine. He's playing like that, but he's not scoring as well. Nor is he getting the rebounds. He has 7 assists. Okay, so he had a good, you know, running the game off. He had a good making these plays, pass, you know, whatever. I know there was a couple lobs with Zubac, so he's doing his job, I guess you could say, in the assist department. One steal, but he had 3 turnovers. So Clippers are bad with turnovers in this game. They were bad with turnovers in this game. And but Russell Westbrook's averaged what, 3, 4 turnovers, like we said. So that's kind of his norm. But it's sad that it looks so bad for him that he's not even hitting 10 points. Not even hitting. So that's why I ask you, like, is it on me that I'm expecting 20 points on him? Like, should I really lower my expectations for someone who used to be so great?
No, I get what you're saying. We don't know what's going on with him personally in his house, or even physically that he's not even telling everyone. We
Look,
don't
I
know.
don't.
I don't know what to say about that because I don't know. He probably has some personal demons, something like that, or.
Look, David, I'm not gonna lie. There hasn't been anything about that, and I don't think that's the issue. I really don't. I don't think that's really the issue with them. It's just he's watching it is realizing that he's not the same guy that he is, right? And that's the underlining result of it. He's not the same guy he is. Too many turnovers. He's playing like he's just another point guard in the league. He's not playing like the old MVP self. Now, I'm not saying again, I'm not saying he's going to reach that level. And I'm not asking him to reach his MVP level. I'm just asking him to be that name, Russell Westbrook. You know, step be that name in a positive light in which we could trust that you get at least 20 points, you know, in that game. But he's showing to me that he's just another point guard in the league. You know, he's showing me that he's a point guard that should be coming off the bench. Now, I'm not saying he should, but you know, because Clippers don't have another option. Honestly, Clippers do not have another point guard that you could start right now after trading away Reggie Jackson. But that's my point. I want and I expect so much more for Westbrook, and he's disappointing me. Now we got the 2 wins, and don't get me wrong, he's part of those 2 wins. Yeah, that's great. But dude, like, come on. I want more. So hopefully in the next game tomorrow, hopefully they step it up against New York, who's I believe they're on the win streak. The New York Knicks, I believe they're on the win streak. So this is gonna be a really great game. I think again on this one, there's 50-50. I can't say that the Clippers are for sure gonna win this one because the Knicks are playing great and Clippers are just getting into the groove of getting these wins. So would it be a 3-1 streak? I won't say yes, I won't say no. But it's definitely gonna be a really fun game.
I'll say yes. I think
You'll say yes? You think so? Okay. I'm a hold it to I don't know right now. I still need to see more to prove to me that I could be like, you know what? Yeah, Clippers are gonna win this one for sure. But luckily enough for the Clippers, the 2 wins helped out, and Warriors losing yesterday, that moved the Clippers back to fifth place in the standard in the Western Conference. So now we got out of the slums in the 8th. We're back in 5th. And that leads one LA team a a guaranteed spot in the playoffs right now. Obviously, we still got about a month of basketball. And then we have the other LA team in the hunt right now, as the LA Lakers are in ninth seed. David, you're the Lakers. Yeah. Wait, you guys are in the play-in.
Before we go to the Lakers, just quickly, what are your thoughts on the new arena the Clippers are building?
Look, bad area. I don't think the area is right for it. And I was always, because I always wanted a championship in the Staples Center that had a Clippers banner, which I don't think is going to happen now after this season. I don't think Clippers are going to win a championship this season. But I always wanted a Clipper banner to just be held up in the Staples Center, at least for a season. But I, because of that, I wasn't for the new stadium. But now I realize, you know what? Maybe it is a time for us to go. Maybe it is time for us to have our own place and, you know, call our own home and stuff like that. We don't have to be seen, or we don't have to be covering up the Lakers banners or the championships or the retired jerseys and stuff like that. So I grew fond to the idea of having our own arena, and I'm content with having the own arena. Just it's too far, dude.
Inglewood,
that is way too far. So many people were so used to driving to downtown LA for these games, and now you have to drive even further to Inglewood. You know, now for some people it that's fine. You know, it's a little closer to them. But at least on my half of LA, you know, it's an extra, what, 15, 30 minutes because of traffic?
I'm sure it's going to be more because I'm sure the people of Inglewood are not happy about that.
Yeah, they're not happy with it. They already have the SoFi there. Then you have the Kia Forum, and now you got the Intuit Dome. And, I mean, they had over the weekend, the team went and got to see the new stadium. You saw the whole outline of the seats and everything were already built. So now I guess all that's left is the main floor with the courts and everything, where the court's going to be, and if they hold other events right there, you know. But that's kind of my thoughts. I grew fond of the idea. I'm okay with it now, you know. Just I don't like that area. I don't like that it's so far away, you know. Me, like, it could have been closer.
Yeah, for me it's gonna be weird not having the Clippers crypto anymore, a Staples Center anymore. You guys didn't want to pay your rent anymore, so you're getting evicted.
They didn't want to pay, and then that's less work for me. Now all I have is the Lakers, Kings, and some concerts to work for now.
Also, thanks to your Clippers, you're gonna be making less money.
What do you mean? Thanks to them.
Yeah, because you're not gonna be working at the parking lot.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm only for work. I'm only gonna have the Kings, the Lakers, and concerts that go on.
So thanks to Steve Ballmer, you're
I'm losing hours. Money. Yeah. Losing hours, man. Unbelievable. And I'm not gonna go work over there in Inglewood. That drive? Not worth it.
All right. So Lakers are in ninth place. They beat the Grizzlies without LeBron.
Yes.
I think earlier this season you said they were not gonna make the playoffs.
I did say that.
Yeah. And now you gotta shove it. They're making the playoffs.
Look, dude, you're getting I still don't think they're gonna make it. It's a little heavy yourself. And this is the Grizzlies while Ja Morant. Okay, so these are two big both teams that have two big players going into it. But hey, congrats to that win. You guys played really great. Grizzlies top scorer was Jaren Jackson with 26 points. Everything after that was Tyrese Jones with 16. Dylan Brooks with 13, which is a very bad game for him because he's supposed to be like the number two. So that was a very bad game for him. There's center Tillman on the 11, and Desmond Bane with 7. You know, so they had a very bad game. Well, the Lakers on your end, Anthony Davis with 30 points. Anthony Davis has stepped up. I don't know what clicked in his mind. I don't know if LeBron had a talk with him. Something happened, but this man has been giving you 30-point games. This man has stepped in and he said, you know what? I understand now. This is my team. I need to lead. Let's go. And he's been leading you guys to victory. He's been getting you guys these wins.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm more surprised that he hasn't got injured.
Mr. Glass?
Yeah.
I'm surprised as well, but dude, good job for you guys. You guys, I like I said, I don't know what happened. This man, something clicked in his head. He realized that now he's the leader of the team. He has to be the leader. He's the number one. And dude, think about it. Before that Grizzlies game, he gave you 39 points against the Warriors.
Very sad Warriors team.
Okay, but that doesn't matter. Curry was
No, I'm
playing.
just saying that's my personal opinion. It's very sad what they turn into to turn
Yeah,
into.
it's tough. It is sad. But Curry played with 27 points. Klay Thompson had 22 points. You know, that's kind of like the most of it. Draymond Green with 15 and stuff. But you guys have, dude, you guys have Anthony Davis stepping up now. And look, it's eating my words. I know I just said they won't make the playoffs. And I'm still, I don't see, okay. Because I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it, David, and looking at the standings. And you have Lakers at ninth. And you guys are tied. Technically, you guys are tied with the Pelicans, who are in 10th, right? And you guys are essentially two games away from Dallas, who's in 8th. Okay. So you need to win two games and Dallas to at least lose one.
Well, Dallas or Minnesota. Minnesota and Dallas are
Are tied.
tied.
So
Yeah.
okay, so then that win can move you guys up to six. Not even that. To six, because Warriors are tied with them too. All three of them, Warriors, Minnesota, and Dallas are in the same. They both are 0.507 with 34 wins and 33 losses. So Lakers need, one of them to lose the next game and Lakers to win two games. But you're forgetting one loss drops you out of the play-in.
That's how close
Because
it really is right now.
One loss puts you back in 11th, moves Pelicans to ninth, and the Utah Jazz in 10th. And then to make it worse, if OKC takes that win, you guys are fighting with OKC for that 11th spot. So, look, you guys are playing great. You guys are playing phenomenal. I didn't think you guys were going to be playing this good at all, especially without LeBron. But Anthony Davis stepped up great. Your team is playing defensively so good, because I remember hearing once that trade, the trade deadline was going on, and the players you guys got into this team. I remember seeing people are like, "Oh, there's gonna be no defense. This is all offense. They're gonna get blown out because they can't play like any defense and stuff like that." And they're proving those haters wrong. Lakers have been playing great defense. Like Vanderbilt, he's not scoring a ton, but he's making his mark on the court by playing this defense to hold, their second leading scorer or third leading scorer to like limited points. And I think that's what you guys needed. And then Austin Reeves just playing great for you guys. This white boy, your next Caruso. Austin Reeves off the bench, 16 points with 27 minutes, 8 assists against the Warriors, right? And then you guys played the Grizzlies, right? That was the last win that you were talking about while LeBron.
Yes.
Yeah. The Grizzlies, he had Austin Reeves had off the bench again, 32 minutes, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. All right. A lot more minutes. Didn't give you as many points because Hachimura had 27 minutes with 17 points as well. But he's still scoring nice off the bench. 17 points off the bench, David, that's really good. That's more than Russell Westbrook is doing as a starter. So like Vanderbilt only had 5 points that game, but he had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 0 turnovers. This man is playing just defense out there, and that's what you guys needed. Beasley, 5 points, five. Yeah, Beasley's not stepping up. Beasley, it's been a tough one. But Schroeder, 17 points. Okay. Brown Jr., 33 minutes, 13 points. Would have, you expect a lot more from him. Not because of the type of player he is, but with 33 minutes, you could at least get 15, 16, 17 points. So that's what I'm saying on him. But Austin Reeves coming off the bench is such a plus for you guys. He's like, I don't want to say no, Caruso didn't score as much. Caruso's more of a defensive, other little stuff. He would do all the other little stuff. But you guys have found a way to make this team work without LeBron. And it's looking really nice. I still say you guys get the 11th seed, but you guys are really in the run for the 6th or the 11th. So you better hope today you guys beat the Raptors.
Raptors are actually favored in this game with 64% on the ESPN website. But
So now ask so now to ask you, David, seeing how you guys are playing without LeBron, right? Seeing how things are going. Two things. One, actually no, I take that the first question. The one question.
Right.
What do you see the future for the Lakers going to be? Obviously LeBron's getting older, so he's gonna retire. What do you see it is gonna be? Do you just resign him and let him retire as a Laker? Or are you guys gonna let him go? Or are you guys gonna trade him for picks to continue building this team around? Because this Laker team, obviously, you know, Anthony Davis is showing when even against the Grizzlies, he was bleeding from his nose. He took an elbow to the nose, bleeding. He still just cleaned that up and came back in. You know, so we're seeing a different attitude from Anthony Davis, saying where it's like he's back in the Pelicans. He could take the reins. He's the leading. He's the man there. You know, and he's having these guys play defense and play under him, wanting to be better. So what is the plan with LeBron now? Because now we're seeing that the Lakers are seeing that, okay, we can move forward without LeBron as a crutch. So as a Laker fan, what do you want that situation to resolve as?
My honest opinion?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's time to say goodbye with LeBron, really. Either trade him. Obviously, it's better to trade him because you'll get something back than just letting him go. But, I mean, I haven't seen it for a while. I mean, only one championship in what, like two playoffs? And what? How long has it been? What, four years?
Is it two playoffs? I believe it is two playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, two playoffs. This is the fifth year.
Fifth year, yeah.
Because, yeah, we had the 2019 with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart. And then he got traded. He got traded all those pieces to the Pelicans. So year two is where you guys won the ring with Anthony Davis. And then year three is where you guys lost in the first round to the Suns because Anthony Davis and LeBron got injured during that series. Right? Year four, which was last year, you guys didn't make the playoffs. Didn't even make play-in. And then this is year five.
So yeah, my honest opinion, yeah, it's time to.
So what I'm asking you is that do they trade him now after this offseason? Or do they try to see how much further they could go with them just to get the rest out of LeBron, you know, the best out of LeBron, whatever
what he if has gonna, what, if gonna, what I think they're going to do is they're going to obviously keep him and see what I think they're going to do is obviously keep him to see how much more he can give. But if I was in charge, I think I would try to pretty much think of someone else new.
Okay, fresh. Yeah, trade. So would you do it this offseason? Would you do it next offseason or in two off seasons?
I would do it now.
You would do it now?
Yeah, because.
So you think the Lakers are looking like they're ready to be without LeBron already? And they just need a couple bigger pieces, a couple younger pieces.
I don't think they're ready. I'm pretty sure once they trade them and start off fresh, I mean, they're not going to be that great. But I mean, right now, overseeing, they're doing good. But I think it's better to already start seeking out new, fresh new faces. Because personally, I haven't been liking really this LeBron era. That's my opinion. And it's always been, if LeBron's out, yeah, we're done. Until now. I think I'm pretty sure if Dante Davis wasn't performing like this, he would be all right there too. Like, we gotta look.
Oh, he'd be getting all the heat. He'd be getting like Anthony Davis is not stepping up like he should have. This and that, whatever. You know, all the news media going on, and you guys would be in the bottom. Well, you guys would be in 13th. I think you guys would have been stable at 13th.
Oh yeah.
I think it's going good. You guys should. Laker fans should really be. Proud of, not proud. You guys should really be enjoying what's going on, and hoping that this is what stays. Because you know, Darren Ham was somehow been able to get them to play all together, and I think that's another thing that's going on is that these even the well, you guys have D'Lo too, Imagine that D'Lo hasn't been playing. D'Angelo Russell
Yeah.
hasn't been playing, and you guys have been winning. And I think that shows one. Now that's your second star. So let's say LeBron gets traded, right? They're just hypothetical. LeBron gets traded. You have Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell. I think they're a nice duo to go on. You have a point guard that shoots. His style is very not like Curry. He's not Curry, obviously, but he's a point guard that could run the ball, that could be a floor general, but also play shooting guard and just shoot off, right? So you have that, and then you have Anthony Davis as a star. So I think it's very exciting for you guys. And I think you guys could start off good if everyone's healthy and everyone falls into Darren Ham's plan and everything goes on right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's into the field. Well, David, enough of basketball. And the NFL. We got just quickly some NFL news. There's a couple signings, cuts, release. You know, the free agency starting on March 15th, which is on Wednesday. So now we're about to see where everyone's gonna go and where, you know, how people are gonna be. But some of the biggest ones right now, Derek Carr signing with the New Orleans Saints for 4 years. 4 years, $150 million, with $100 million in total guaranteed.
Wow.
He's getting $70 million effective, fully guaranteed, with $60 million at signing and $10 million in year three as an investment for year one.
Wow, that's a lot.
4 years. So look, quickly on that. I think it's hilarious that Derek Carr turned down a trade to the Saints, right? So the Saints offered a trade to the Raiders. Raiders were going to say yes, but Derek Carr said, nope, I don't want to do it. Waits to get released, right? Just to sign with the Saints. All of this so the Raiders don't get any picks or anything to help them out. That is, I love it. I love it because I hate the Raiders. So I love that Derek Carr did this. But another thing that broke my heart in the Raiders, in the aspect of the Raiders, they placed a franchise tag on running back Josh Jacobs. That I hate it because Josh Jacobs had a breakout season, and before this season that just passed, where he the reason why, and look, this is part of the reason why he broke out. Before the season started, in their fourth round, the Raiders drafted a running back, and it was clear that the Raiders did not think Josh Jacobs was their starting running back, and they decided that they weren't gonna pick up his fifth year option. They were gonna let him go. But then Josh Jacobs goes off and has an incredible year. He was the best player on the Raiders, even with Davante Adams being there. And that's not Davante Adams' fault. You know, the situation with the Raiders, the whole play call, everything. I mean, with the situation between the Raiders and Derek Carr, the whole play calling and everything going on. Davante Adams is still Davante Adams. But Josh Jacobs showed that he was the best player on the team this season. And instead of letting him go, because I thought so many other teams could have used Josh Jacobs and facilitate him in a much better way and appreciate him in a better way, the Raiders franchise tag him. So that means he has another season on the Raiders just to ruin his career.
So what do you mean by tag? So what can he not do? What?
So franchise tag means that they're going to give him a minimum. It's a one-year thing. So he's staying for this one season is where they could give you the minimum. Not the very minimum, but I believe is here. Let me tell you exactly what it means so I could explain it more. Franchise tag is a destination that allows the NFL teams to select one player in the entire team that is going to be a unrestricted free agency, guaranteed one more year in the team. So like I said, Josh Jacobs will be playing this next season on the Raiders, as long as certain conditions are met. You know, as long as certain conditions are met. And so that means the teams must offer one player this contract, no less than either the average of the top five salaries of the player's position based on April. So depending on the salary of the running backs, he gets paid a certain amount of money. I didn't see how much he's going to be getting paid in his franchise tag, but it all means that he has to play one more season on the Raiders for some paid amount, and then he'll be a free agent. Did you kind of get what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
So So he, and that dude, that sucks. Because I really wanted him to go to another team, and they keep him in jail. That's the way I see it. They keep him in jail, you know, staying with the Raiders. And I just hope that he could go out. But another franchise running back, the Cowboys franchise tag, Tony Pollard, their backup running back. I really thought they were going to let him go because they're really running on with Zeke. But I guess not. But another franchise tag. This same day, this all happened on March 4th, March 6th, a Monday. Evan Ingram was franchise tagged by the Jaguars, which I think their team has so much potential now. With how great they played in the playoffs and how Evan Ingram was a major part in their run, and he's their go-to. Well, he is their tight end. You know, he's their number one tight end. And now that we got Calvin Ridley showing up, they have Travis Etienne as running back. You got Trevor Lawrence as quarterback. You have Christian Kirk as the other wide receiver too. I believe he's going to be wide receiver two behind Calvin Ridley. And so now you have a important tight end in Evan Ingram. You have weapons around there in Jacksonville. So that was kind of a major one. One in New York, a big one. Quarterback Daniel Jones signs a 4-year contract extension, dude. 4 years of Daniel Jones. I don't know if you saw him, but he ain't worth 4 years. I believe it was a 150, also 160 million for 4 years. Dude is not worth that much. He had one breakoff season, but he is not worth that much money. Everything else, a bunch of re-signing because free agency does not start until Wednesday. So, into our next podcast, David, we'll find out who goes where, what are the big news, who's joining what team. But as of right now, these are some of the major cuts and franchise tags. The only reason why Derek Carr was able to sign with the Saints was because he was released. So it gives him the leeway of signing with a team. And just to add on to that, as you know, I'm going to end it off. Just to add on to that, the Saints now, in my opinion, are going to win the NFC South.
Can I get my opinion on that too?
Yeah, go ahead.
I really like Derek Carr now after what you told me about what he did to the Raiders. Wow, what a cool guy now.
Right. Hey, look, I'm not a big fan of Derek Carr. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a big fan of him.
Well, now I am.
He was solid. I mean, he had one really solid great season with the Raiders until he broke his ankle, right? Then their whole season went down. Oh, yeah, that was going to be the Raiders' best season. And then, you know, he gets blamed for a lot of the Raiders' problems for the bad seasons that they have. And don't get me wrong, he deserves some of the blame. But to be blaming everything on him, that's not right. So I think he did the right thing. The way he handled that whole situation, I really like you said, I really like how he did it. Didn't give him any compensation, any trade, any picks, players, no. He said, screw them. I'm going to do this my way. They screwed me over. I'm going to screw them over. I'm not going to take that trade. I'm going to go to a team that needs a quarterback that wants me. And I did it how I want to do it. And, dude, congrats, Derek Carr. You know, congrats to him. So now he's in a team where, one, the Saints don't have to be going between Taysom Hill or Andy Dalton to see who's playing better, and even have to wait for Jameis Winston, who's injured, right? Who's coming back off injury. The way I see it now, that you have four quarterbacks and one of them's a quarterback that's tied in, you're gonna keep Taysom Hill whenever you need to run a play with him or as a tight end or as a quarterback. So you're keeping him. Jameis Winston is gonna get cut. I believe Jameis Winston's getting cut, and he's gonna find work somewhere else as a backup. He's gonna find work. Who knows where he's gonna go? You know, right now I can't give you a specific team, where he might go. He could even be a backup in Arizona to Kyler Murray. You know, or he might even go to Houston. Houston, I think Houston's gonna draft a quarterback in the draft, but you never know. They might look into him. But to kind of cut it off, Derek Carr is gonna be starting quarterback. You have that for sure guaranteed. I don't know if they're gonna keep Andy Dalton. I don't think they would need to, but they might just to have him. I believe he's still in the contract. Or I could be wrong on that. And then they're going to keep Taysom Hill, in my opinion, just so they could run those plays where he could play tight end and quarterback. But now you have – now I think the Saints have a team that could win the NFC South. They're going to go back to the playoffs, right? Just as a top four team because they're going to win their division. Buccaneers are looking to do something. They went 8-9 this last season. The reason why they made the playoffs is because, you know, one team from the leading team in each division has to go, right? And 8-9 was the best in their division. So now Buccaneers don't have Tom Brady. They had to look for another quarterback. They had to look for how they're going to work the team. So, you know, that's kind of the big of it. But yeah, David, we'll see next week. We'll talk about next week where some of the big trades. Hopefully Aaron Rodgers will find out where he ends up. Because right now he was able to talk to the Jets. So let's see how that's going to go.
Next week, we'll say it right here. I'll say it right here on the air. Then we got to talk about Pau Gasol's jersey retirement. I do want to apologize for we can't talk about it. But next week, we'll promise to our listeners that we'll talk about Pau Gasol.
Yeah, we should have gotten to that. But I think it's great. He deserves it. Yeah. He really does. Helping Kobe game win those championships. Mm-hmm. Only if Kobe was here to see it with them. But it was nice that his jersey Raptor was put up next to Kobe's, like Kobe said he would.
We'll talk more thoroughly next week.
Yeah, we'll start it off with it.
Yeah. All right, you do the sign off. It's your beautiful voice.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to us today in episode 6. We'll have more next week. Coming out with more topics, like we said already. We're going to have the Pau Gasol talk, and then we're going to have NFL free agency. So come back next week for another episode of Sideline Thoughts. I'm Gio Galvez.
And I'm David Reyes.
Signing off for today. See you guys.